The disastrous defeat at Sarikamish exposes all of eastern Turkey to an enemy invasion. In early May 1915, the Russians restart their military machine and move down the Tortum Valley toward the fortress city of Erzurum. General Yudenich and his army of 80,000 men capture the city of Van to the south, move past Lake Van, and threaten the city of Mush. About 50,000 Turkish troops fight a holding action, but they are poorly equipped and short on ammunition, and bringing in reinforcements is out of the question. The Turkish railroad system is simply too inadequate.
So it's easy to talk about moving troops from Gallipoli or Thrace down to Mesopotamia. It's another thing entirely to actually do it. The railways only went part of the way, and there were big breaks caused by mountains and unconstructed tunnel systems, which were planned but uncompleted. It would take something like 6 to 8 weeks to move troops from Gallipoli down to Mesopotamia under the best of circumstances.
Battles continue throughout the summer in a seesaw campaign where towns change hands from week to week. The Turks have lost nearly 60,000 men, and the Russians haven't fared much better. Then in September, Grand Duke Nicholas, the uncle of Tsar Nicholas II, takes command of the Caucasus Front. From his headquarters in the city of Kars, Nicholas and his staff spend the rest of the year planning their next offensive. By January 1916, they are ready to move. With nearly twice as many troops, they launch a surprise attack against the Turks and drive them back toward the west. The Russians break through along the entire eastern front. The Ottoman Third Army is routed and retreats to the fortress at Erzurum. In mid-February, the ancient fortress falls to the Russian invaders. The capture of Erzurum is too painful to make public. Even the Sultan himself does not learn of the defeat for several months. Another Russian force lands from the Black Sea and takes the city of Riza in March and then Trabzon in April. Battles rage between the Russians and Turks throughout the spring and summer. By the end of August, Nicholas has defeated two armies and occupied a massive amount of enemy land. He is in full control now, and his exhausted troops can finally rest. The Ottoman Second and Third Armies have suffered mortal blows. They have lost 100,000 men, supplies are nearly gone, and any male from 16 to 50 is being drafted to fill the dwindling ranks. By the end of 1916, Turkish soldiers on the Eastern Front are dying by the hundreds of disease, starvation, or exposure to the harsh winter.
Great losses are caused by lack of subsistence and lack of warm clothing. Many Turkish soldiers are dressed in thin summer garments, have no overcoats, and no boots. The feet are mostly wrapped in rags from which the toes protrude. All men are badly undernourished.
The land itself is dead and cold. The few factories stand silent and empty. The supply system fails. Food, clothing, and equipment are scarce. Turkish soldiers aren't the only ones suffering. A massive amount of refugees are also dying. Hundreds of thousands also fall victim to starvation, exposure, and disease. An additional threat comes from marauding bandits, deserters, rebel groups, and hostile soldiers. Massacres are common throughout the land. By the end of the war in Turkey, more than 1 million civilians will be dead.